The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. The final hour on a Monday afternoon has arrived. A lot of reaction to a number of the events of the week, and there are only four games, but quite a bit to chew on. This week, a few more of the schools will finally come back after missing a game or two, or a week or two, I should say. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and we would love to hear from you. Let's continue with more calls. This call is Trey in South Carolina. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Trey, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, so with Will Muschamp firing probably looming pretty soon, who do you think could possibly be the next head coach? I personally think it's either the Les Miles show or possibly Steve Sarkisian.
Who was the first one?
Les Miles.
Trey, I mean, I have to say this. Nobody in their right mind is going to hire Les Miles right now.
Well, I mean, I might say the same thing about Muschamp, too, but we still got him.
Well, first of all, Muschamp is still coaching at South Carolina. I don't say that to be a smart aleck, but you know his buyout is massive. And I have yet to see any sign, regardless of what happens the rest of the way, that Ray Tanner and the administration there has a hearty appetite to get rid of him.
Yeah, but I understand. But if, you know, if the season continues and things feel like they did Saturday night, you got to think they've got to do something, don't you?
Well, I will say that Will Muschamp is frighteningly frustrating to watch because, you know, he wins a big game against Auburn and then, you know, he throws it all away in an inept performance against LSU. And I think that's what's getting fans right now. It wasn't the loss. It was just the way. And, you know, the schedule is I think it's fairly difficult the rest of the way out for South Carolina. So, I mean, I'm not saying you're completely wrong. As far as, you know, if a change were to be made, I mean, I've heard quite a few names mentioned. I have not heard the two you mentioned, though.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and well, here's what's ahead for South Carolina. A&M at home, at Ole Miss, Missouri, Georgia, and Kentucky. So right now they're 2-3. Realistically, how many wins do you see? I mean, there is no automatic win. So easily, Georgia is the most difficult. I know what happened last year. Don't really matter. A&M is extremely difficult. Those are two top 10 teams. And then, you know, can you win at Ole Miss? Kentucky? Missouri? I don't see that many wins ahead. So this conversation may be continued. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with Scott, who is up next. Hey, Scott, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
Scott, we're doing great. Thank you.
Good, good. I'm a first-time caller. I've followed you in your career for a long time.
Well, thank you.
And I would first like to start by saying I congratulate you on your success. It's a long way from the newsroom at the Birmingham Post-Herald to where you are today. And I'll never forget the only interaction that I've ever had with you. I'm sure you don't remember it, but I do.
Okay.
It was in late November. I guess it would have been a 2006. And I was taking my mother for a stroll at the Birmingham Botanical Gardens, of all places, and ran into you and your wife. And you were very gracious with your time. And I asked you at that time if Mike Shuler was done, and you gave me a very emphatic yes. And I asked you if you thought Nick Saban would be the man, and you said, well, if he's not, it won't be for lack of trying on Mal Moore's part. And so anyway, I wanted to thank you for being so gracious with your time. And what I really want to talk about, I've been hearing all these Tennessee fans, and I'm a Bama fan. I don't have any love lost for Tennessee. But I'll tell you this. I've said for a few years now that I feel like Jeremy Pruitt, and you go ahead and laugh now, Jeremy Pruitt will be the first of Nick Saban's assistants to beat him. And I tell you, I followed his career ever since he was a high school coach at Hoover High School down here south of Birmingham. And the reason that I believe he will eventually find success at Tennessee is because if there is a Nick Saban reincarnate, it would be Jeremy Pruitt. They have a very similar work ethic. And I can tell you this, nobody's going to outwork Jeremy Pruitt. And I think that if Tennessee fans will just be patient and give him the time, that he will build something that they'll be proud of there. Now, I know that in this day of instant gratification, there isn't much patience in the world, but I truly believe that, and I mean, I hope I'm wrong. You know, I would love, I don't want to wish any bad luck on anybody, but let me just say, I would take Jeremy Pruitt right now for Pete Golding and be thrilled to death about it. But anyway.
Yeah, well Scott, before you go, let me say this about Jeremy Pruitt. I've been very high on Jeremy Pruitt since the day he was hired there. I think he's got a few things that he could improve on in terms of his communication with people about bad news. But other than that, I do think he is seemingly on the right track. So you may be right about that. As far as what you said about me, I can't thank you enough for remembering those moments. And it means a great deal that you would call.
Well, Paul, again, I've just followed your career, and I've seen you did it the hard way. You know, I mean, you worked for it, and I respect that. You know, I've spent 59 years out here. If you remember anything about the Birmingham Metro, I live out here in the Tri-Cities Metroplex of Leeds, Moody, and Odenville,
oh, sure.
Alabama. And anyway, I can remember I couldn't wait to get that post hair to see what Feinbaum had
well,
to say.
Well, that's and, you bring some
so
great
anyway,
memories.
Congratulations,
thank
Paul,
you, Scott.
You've always been a stand-up guy. I mean, I've only had that one interaction with you, but I've known countless others that have recounted similar instances where you were just as gracious with your time and everything. So, anyway, that's a rare commodity in today's world. People get a little success, and it goes to their head, and they become turds. And I'm glad that you're still just a down-to-earth good guy.
Well, Scott, thank you. I can't tell you how much I miss Birmingham and how much I can't wait to get back there as well to see people like you. Thank you for calling. I really appreciate that.
Okay, Paul. Have a good rest of your day.
All the best to you. That means a lot. Not that many people remember those days when I was a newspaper writer. We have to go to a break. We still have plenty of time for you to give us a ring. The number is 855-242-7285. It's been a busy one. Hunter Yurecek was with us from Arkansas. A lot of other great guests. Glenn West talking about the resurgent LSU Tigers. He will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And the comeback of the week belongs to those Tigers. Have you ever seen a program turn around overnight? Well, pretty much overnight. Look at the first three games, and then look at Saturday against South Carolina. Everything seemed better, especially third down conversions, a different quarterback, and what gives now? We heard from Ogeron earlier about the quarterback situation, and Glenn West covers the LSU Tigers. Nice enough to join us. Glenn, thank you for the time. Good afternoon, and things have certainly changed on as a result of one game down there. Good afternoon, and tell us how it all happened.
Yeah, thank you first and foremost for having me on. I really appreciate it. This is a team that, you know, 2 weeks ago just seemed lost, right? And you know, you look at this team, and you know, so many holes on defense. You're talking about obviously a coaching staff that was pretty, you know, maligned here. You know, obviously with the hiring of Bo Pelini, that was something that was certainly discussed a lot in the first 3 weeks, and they come out and they put on a great show against South Carolina. I thought offensively there were so many improvements made. You mentioned the third down. They were 8 of 10 on third down, 5 of 5 in the red zone and on the goal line, which was another big area that they wanted to address after getting stuffed 4 times against Missouri. So overall, just a great, great performance from the Tigers on Saturday, and a lot that they can build momentum on moving forward this season.
Glenn, we heard what Coach O had to say, as you did, about the quarterback situation, but you watch this team, write about it. Where is it right now? Because it certainly looked like LSU found a more explosive quarterback the other night.
Yeah, I actually tweeted this really at the start of the second quarter when LSU started to pull away, that they might have an emerging star on their hands, and that only, you know, became more true as the night went on. But look, I think this is still Miles Brennan's job. I mean, this is going to be his job until Coach O decides that it's not. And I think that on Saturday, what you saw from T.J. Finley was just a taste of what the future of this program could become. But LSU really, really has liked what Miles Brennan has done. I think from the first game and really through the next three, he showed marked improvement in a lot of different areas, you know, as the season has gone on. And he played really well against Missouri. You know, he took that tough hit in the first half and kept playing through that injury and played remarkably well. This is going to be his job until Finley really beats him out. And I think that Brennan has proven through three games and through his three starts that he's the guy that's going to be leading the Tigers moving forward if he's healthy.
Yeah, and Glenn, I mean, the game at Auburn speaks for itself. That's probably not a great place to start playing quarterback shuffle, but how do you expect Coach O to use the quarterbacks, or do you think he'll just stay the course with Brennan despite what we all saw Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting question, because what we know about Brennan's injury is that it's one that can kind of take different time length to heal. And, you know, Coach O said even today during his press conference that he's not going to throw Miles Brennan out there unless he's 100%. So I think what they've decided to do and what they will continue to do this week in practice is to just take it day by day. You know, Miles Brennan is going to practice today. I think they said he was going to do about 25% of the workload today, and they're going to try to slowly rev him up to see if his body can handle it before they obviously leave for Auburn on Friday. But you know, if Miles Brennan can't go, they have a good option, and T.J. Finley, obviously, you know, a good backup option for them to roll with this weekend. So you know, I think Finley will continue to take first team reps this weekend as well, and all throughout practice this week. So it's looking like it could be a coin toss again whether or not Brennan plays this weekend, just because of the nature of this injury and not really knowing, you know, when he could potentially be 100%.
Okay, Glenn, let's get to the part of the LSU team that has bewildered and bedeviled everyone, and that's the defense. You mentioned Pelini coming in. The first couple of games were extremely hard to watch. What was different Saturday night against South Carolina?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the big things they were able to do, I mean, South Carolina, if you look at the box score, only punted once. They had over 400 yards of offense. But what LSU was really able to do was once South Carolina got into that red zone, got into position to score, the defense held up, and they forced field goal attempts, and South Carolina missed three field goals against the Tigers on Saturday. So that was, you know, obviously a big component of this game as well. But, you know, I think one of the big things with this team has just been just the inconsistency with communication, the missed tackling, the missed assignments. And you really want to see LSU kind of eliminate some of those explosive plays that they've been prone to give up. And, you know, I think when they were running north and south, South Carolina, LSU did a better job. But once South Carolina was able to hit the outside and get some of those screens, some of those pitches to the outside, they were able to kind of break open and get some of those big plays. So that's something, especially this week with Auburn, which we know Gus Malzahn likes to do a lot of misdirection, a lot of movement in the pre-snaps. The LSU is really going to have to kind of focus on this week to kind of avoid giving up some of those more explosive plays.
Let's take a step back from the field for a second. We all know about the offseason, greatest season in LSU history. Everyone was fired up. Coach O even played into that by saying that he thought this defense had a chance to either equal or better what we saw last year. I know you can't take Saturday night out of the equation, but what's it been like down there for the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season as fans have literally been wondering if this team could make it to 500?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the problems, I think, really around the conference this year is you don't really know week in and week out what you're going to get with this team. And I think that that's kind of a trend that you've seen really throughout the entire SEC. Offenses are just putting up, you know, Big 12 type numbers against defenses, and that's just not what we've become prone to seeing in the SEC. And so I think the fans here at LSU, they kind of understand that, you know, look, hey, once you lose 14 draft picks, you lose Ja'Marr Chase, you lose Joe Brady, you lose Dave Aranda, there's going to be some kind of drop-off there. And I don't think they obviously expected it to be pretty significant, you know, losing to Mississippi State game one and dropping a heartbreaker to Missouri, you know, a couple weeks later. But I think it's just kind of the times we're living in the SEC now is that these offenses are kind of controlling and dictating where these teams can potentially go. And I think that's certainly been the case with LSU so far this season. So it's kind of hard to really gauge just what you're going to get from this team week in and week out. So that's been kind of my biggest impression from week one to week four.
Glenn, in relation to Bo Pelini, has everyone calmed down? Because 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I mean, I felt sorry for this poor guy. He came back to LSU where he left a hero, and I wouldn't have wanted to be walking down the street with him.
Yeah, I think we're still kind of in muddy waters with Pelini. I mean, like I said, there were some positives to take away from last week's game, but there were a few negatives too. I mean, South Carolina did have some pretty big explosive plays. I mean, you know, LSU goes down and scores on the first drive, and then it takes 55 seconds for South Carolina to score on the ensuing possession. So, I mean, you know, and you're kind of thinking, oh man, here we go again. So, but LSU, you know, they were able to kind of settle down. They played a lot of their bigger defensive linemen, which I think is something that they wanted to do to kind of help with the run game, and it did help. And they've shown some strides, and I think that, you know, as long as you continue to show improvement week to week, it can't get any worse for Pelini. I mean, there were guys obviously calling for his job, like you mentioned, you know, 2 weeks, you know, after the Mississippi State game. So, you know, I don't think it can get much worse than it was. But I think there has been some steady kind of just, okay, let's just cool off here. You know, his buyout is massive, so I don't think anything like that is going to happen. So, you know, we really have to just kind of wait and see if this defense can improve from week to week.
Before you go, Glenn, let's just take a big picture look. It seemed like LSU saved the season Saturday at home against South Carolina. That was a game a lot of people were wondering about, some even picking the Tigers to go down. I mean, this week, I don't know why, it just seems like it's critical that you could literally be seeing two programs passing in the night, a win by LSU, and suddenly that Alabama game in a couple of weeks seems legitimate again. Am I reading this correctly?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is as big a game as LSU's played all season. I think it'll probably be, you know, when you look back at this season, one of the defining moments of this season for LSU, because they're kind of in that mode of limbo right now, like we talked about. They're, you know, 500. They're playing an Auburn team that's kind of in the same boat as they are right now, as far as just never not really knowing what to expect from week to week. So this is just a massively important game for LSU to kind of get their season back on track. You know, it was a good start with South Carolina, and I think if they can pull this one out against Auburn, you got to feel really confident heading into the bye week that they can continue to find some answers and hopefully get Brennan a little bit healthier as well heading into that Alabama matchup, which we all know every year seems to be one of the more hyped up games all around college football.
Yeah, and Glenn, the real for those who don't, I mean, right now the schedules all seem to be running together, but LSU, you know, has Auburn. I mean, they really haven't played. This is the first really, I would say, legitimately good preseason ranked team. I mean, I know Auburn's had some hard times, but after this, we're talking Alabama, Texas A&M, Florida, because of the way that game was changed. This is big. You lose here, and then you have Alabama. I forgot, at Arkansas, at A&M, Ole Miss, and Florida. This is better than you already have, but this is critical.
It's as tough a schedule as you're going to see, because we all know even Arkansas has been kind of one of the big surprises of the SEC, and you know, that's not going to be an easy game. I mean, they've got some real competition coming down the pipe here, and they could use every single win that they can possibly get their hands on, because you're right, it really wasn't a very hard schedule for LSU to start. You know, I think a lot of people saw this team at worst 3-1 through week four heading into the season. That's obviously including the Florida game, but you know that got delayed, of course. But it's a crucial, you know, month of football for LSU here. Coach O has talked about just, you know, steadying the course. There was a team meeting they had, you know, right after they found out the Florida game was postponed, where they essentially decided to all just come together, because you know, they were struggling there for a while, just, you know, as a team and the chemistry and whatnot. So it's been certainly an improvement here in the last week, and we'll see if it can continue heading into Saturday.
Well, hey, Glenn, thanks for making time. It was great to have you on. It was a fantastic conversation, and we will hopefully see you very soon.
I appreciate it, Paul. Thanks so much. Have you back anytime. Thanks, man.
Love to. Glenn West, fantastic report on the resurgence of the LSU Tigers. We are going to take a break. We still have 30 minutes remaining here, and we hope you'll give us a ring.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back, and we've got calls the rest of the way. Steve is up next in Chicago. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
We're doing great.
Paul,
thank you.
I haven't talked to you in a while. How you been?
We've been great. Steve, what about you?
I've been good. I've been working like a dog. You know how it goes. You know? Hey, listen, I just want to say this. Mac Jones has been unreal. If you look at the numbers, it almost comes up like a Heisman Trophy winner. You know, I just don't understand why he doesn't get much publicity or anything like that.
But well, hold on. Steve, I think he is getting a lot of publicity. Right now, if you look at the Heisman pundit polls, which mean very little, he's probably in the top three. And I don't think he's, part of his issue, and it's going to change now with Jason Waddle out of the way, but you still have Devontae Smith. You still have Najee Harris, who are legitimate candidates.
And don't forget about
Beachum. Well, I mean, I'm not forgetting about him, but I don't think he's going to be a Heisman candidate.
No, but here's the thing. You look at the college landscape right now, besides the COVID-19, if you look at it, there is about three teams from the SEC that could be playing for that title, for the national title. You got Florida, you got Alabama, and you got Georgia. LSU's always a big struggle for any team. And Florida, it's always the Georgia-Alabama game, or Georgia-Florida game. Them are the two big, that game, the Auburn-Alabama game, those are the two biggest games besides the LSU-Alabama game, which is going to be in Baton Rouge. You never know what can happen there, because if it's a night game, you never know what happens.
Well, it is a night game.
It's always a toss-up. So, and Bama's won a couple times at night, so... You know,
Bama's record in Baton Rouge is extraordinarily good. They've lost two games in Tuscaloosa, but that's about it. And since Nick Saban has been around, I think he may have lost. He lost his second year there, or maybe it's in 2010 is what I'm trying to say. But he hasn't lost there since.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. The SEC is the best conference in the country. I just don't understand. I live in the Midwest. They always talk about Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State. The problem is Notre Dame hasn't played anybody. I think they're playing Clemson this year at home. You just look at the college landscape. It's crazy because of the COVID-19. I understand that. Big Ten got off late. The Pac-12 is going to get off late. So anything can happen, but the SEC has done everything right with the COVID-19 stuff. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Steve, thank you very much. Good to have you on from Chicago. Manny is up next in Tuscaloosa. Manny, how are you? It's great. We're having a little difficulty hearing you, but...
Let me try to switch up on you here.
There you go. You sound great.
How about now? Okay. I hadn't called you in a while. I've been missing you, but I need your help very badly.
Sure.
Okay, I'm on the way to a difficult dinner conversation about our defense. Now, I met this lovely Bama Belle at Atmore, and she can talk ball better than me. She's been all the way back to reading you as long as I have, much less listening to you every day. She is of the opinion that we need to change midstream and pop somebody else in there before we hopefully wind up matching against Clemson, because she still thinks our defense is porous. Now, I agree that we're porous, but I'm not sure we should change up midstream like that. And I need your help on this. Please give me an opinion to back this up.
Well, Manny, I think it's always dangerous to make a decision like that in the middle of the season. In fact, though, 2 years ago, Saban did just that. He didn't announce it, but he went from Tosh LePoy to Pete Golding. I know a lot of people that think Golding is the wrong guy, but... with Nick Saban behind him, it does give you a little bit of a sense of security. But I think it would be a mistake to make a change right now.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. Thank you for backing me up. Okay, roll time.
Good. Thank you, man. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Here's what I love. I mean, I know some people around the country are going, Is he talking about Alabama? That's how Alabama folks roll, though. I mean, the team is number two in the country. Many think they should be number one. And there's at least a conversation going on tonight in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to make a change at the defensive coordinator's position. Okay. Jim is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Jim, you're on the air.
Yes, sir, Paul. I missed the first part of your show. I didn't get to hear what Hunter had to say. But I was just wondering what you thought about the Razorbacks' chances this weekend. And one other question, and I'll hang up. What's wrong with the Cowboys?
I think the Cowboys hired a dud as the coach.
10-4. I agree.
I mean, I would consider firing him today, quite frankly, because he just shows no awareness. And I realize the quarterback situation, but that's beside the point. But, you know, I know he's an Arkansas guy, but, you know, Jerry Jones at some point needs to decide that he's the owner of the team, not the head football coach.
That's exactly right. He wants to coach, but he don't know how.
No, he really doesn't. As far as this weekend, I'm still giving it some thought. Hunter was great. He told you what you already know about why he hired Sam Pittman as the head coach, but it was still a good story. And I do think this is a huge game for Arkansas. The momentum, I mean, to win at Kyle Field would just be unbelievable. And, you know, Sam Pittman nearly went down to Auburn and won. He's had some other close calls. He's won some games. But I understand how bitter this rivalry is and how important this game is.
All right. Appreciate it, Paul. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Yeah, this is a really sneaky rivalry in the SEC because the game has always been played at Arlington because of Jerry Jones. It's been incredibly close, although Arkansas just can't seem to win it. And there's a confidence from the Arkansas side that I have not heard in a long time. I've had several Arkansas fans tell me they're coming into College Station and are going to beat the Aggies. What do you say about that, Matt?
I got something to say about Arkansas fans. Keep on dreaming. We've been you 9 years in a row. It's going on 10 years. Going to beat you. You guys stink, Arkansas.
I remember the good old days when Matt was just a nice guy. He wasn't talking trash.
Because my team can back up what we got to say, Paul. Unlike South Carolina, we got spanked. I watched that game, Paul. Yeah. They got smacked around, kicked in the shins, and got away with it. That's what you did. That was embarrassing for them.
It really was. So one more time, Matt, what's going to happen Saturday?
We're going to whoop on Arkansas. We're going to smack them around, kick them in the shins, and get away with it. They ain't coming into my house and beat us. I'm going to that game, Paul.
Are you really?
Yes, I am. I'm going with a friend, my friend Mitchell.
Well, I'll tell you what. You and Mitchell, take care of yourself. Have a great time. I'll be thinking of you Saturday night. Thank you very much. It's always great to hear from you, Matt. The smack talker from San Antonio. We are heading to a break. You want to give us a ring? You can do so now, 855-242-7285. We have Hunter Yurecek on. John Talty came by. Blake Topmeyer about the Tennessee situation. We're back after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.